Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
We are in the house of the Lord. We are officially gathered in the name of Jesus. You said that when two or more are gathered together in your name, you are there in the midst of us. We honor your majesty, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God, God the Father, God the Son, and welcome also to God the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the fear of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a wonderful year that we can enjoy if we concentrate on being consistent, faithful, consecrated to God, and live the godly life as we heard this morning. We thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, bless your word and let your presence fill this place by stretching forth your hand and granting signs and wonders and miracles wherever needs be, according to your word, to confirm your word with power. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you to the band, everybody here tonight. And really so good to see you. Daniel Fast is over, our 29th one. I can almost not believe it's 29 of them in a row. And here we are tonight. We've gone through that, and everybody has enjoyed some nice meat in this week, I hope, and that you have had a very good time. You know, with us at home, Maud always, on the final day of the Daniel fast, she puts a leg of lamb in, and then she doctors that thing with everything that is good. And I mean, it is just about something that you it's from another planet. And then we have that after the evening service. So in case you've forgotten, we've already stopped the Daniel fast, so I can talk about it now. And it's just so good. Then we celebrate, it's over, we've had some very nice meat, and then after that it's gone for the year. What we prayed for is what we got. Now, don't want to repeat anything except one thing shortly. That in the Daniel fast, because of a discontent that I had, like a divine discontent, like Gideon said, you know, if God be for us, where are the miracles that we've heard that happened to our fathers in the book of Judges? Where are the miracles? And the gospel did not come to you in words only, but in power with the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, with full persuasion. My speech, said Paul, he said, and my preaching were not in the persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This was the core of my struggle over the last couple of months. And in this week, something happened to me, and spiritually there were changes. I could feel God working on my spirit. Now the Holy Spirit can do with me whatsoever He wants to do. When God does anything, I am happy that just to be involved with God. And it's His Spirit. You know, He can change the anointing on your life to move from one office into another office, or from one gift of the Holy Spirit to now move into different gifts of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, faith, and the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Those are the nine gifts of the Spirit. Woord van wijsheid, woord van kennis, onderscheiding van geestetalen, interpretatie van talen, profetie, geloof, die werking van wonders en genadegaves van gezondmaking. Did you get that? Amen, you got that. And so, those are the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. So He can change because it's His Spirit. And when a point in time comes that He gets involved with you, He got involved with me after the Daniel fast, very shortly, and I had a dream in which I dreamt the morning service and what I preached, but I definitely did not conclude that whatsoever. So we're going on with that in the mornings, and with that being said, kind of running parallel with that is something I want you to go to. First off, in the book of Ephesians 6, and this year from verse number 10. And just before you read again, look at the image at the back of me on the big screen or wherever you are. Look at that image of a Roman soldier that stands there. And that's exactly what they look like. When I was several times in the Israel National Museum, I saw those, you know, helmets that they wear, that they wore. And there's actually here on the side, they're actually like a hinge, so it can flap. So as the face moves by gravitation, the weight of that helmet that protects them. That's a typical Roman soldier and a very good graphic. I've got more, but they'll come in the next week or two. Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The power of His might. Not our might, His might. So it's all going to depend in this year on you. Whether you're going to have divine authority in executive divine authority. There's a good word in Afrikaans, uitvoerende gesag, executive power. To actually act on behalf of the Lord on planet Earth. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the strategies, the evil plans of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we do not wrestle. He uses a Greek word here for wrestle called pale, which is simply this, that in the ancient Greece, when wrestlers came together, they had a wrestle on until one actually won the contest and put his foot on the neck of the one that he overcame. And that was the sign that the fight was over in this wrestling match. So we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You've got to be able, ultimately, definitely, surely, to put your foot on the neck of the devil. Can you say amen? And he says, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, and again I refer you to what's behind me here on the platform, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. With the armor of God, you can withstand anything. Anything. In the evil day. In the evil way. Day. That you are able to withstand against antihistemi is the Greek word. Antihistemi. I'm saying it slowly and emphatically, but it really means it's like you're able to stand strong and in resistance face to face, and you can take the enemy out if he comes against you. Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking up the shield of faith. Above all, taking up the shield of faith. When Paul spoke about the shield of faith, then he meant that kind of faith, because he was well familiar. He was also a Roman citizen, and he was well familiar with what those soldiers looked like, and he just took it over into the ancient Greek, and he used that as a picture that fulfills everything that we're talking about. And you see that shield there, and how it was shaped to cover you. And he said, above all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one or the wicked one or the devil, if you want, or any demon, whatever. Bible speaks about fiery darts. that the devil shoots at people. It comes in the form of when these things hit them in the flesh, like cancer, like heart failure, heart attacks, all sorts of things that happen. Kidney failure, body failure. And take up the helmet of salvation to protect your mind, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer. That means in the Greek, all manner, all ways of prayer. There are 11 manners of prayer. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit involved in your prayer life. Being watchful to this end. Very, very much vigilant, very much alert. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then he ends off in the next verse, and for me also. So he spoke to the church. He said those words, pray and take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. I was thinking in the week, the sword of the Spirit is not just any sword. It's the sword of the light of God. The light of God, the entrance of your word brings light. Revelation, understanding, light. Your word is a light to my foot, a lamp to my foot and a light to my path. You see, it works like this. When the word comes into your life, the divine life is connected to the word. Who is the word? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It's the Messiah. So the divine life is released. Now, I'm just thinking back, way back now. I'm going back 1964 and I did biology. And I remember that we were looking at, in physics, we were looking at plants and in a relationship to the sun. And the sun shined during the course of the day. Sometimes wonder how those plants survive with this extreme heat waves that we've experienced. And if you look at that, in the plants, I'll say it in Afrikaans, then I'll say it in English. You have a thing called bladgroen. When the sunlight comes upon that bladgroen, in English it's called chlorophyll, which is a Greek word, which means bladgroen, chloros is green. So if you have the chloros horse, that's actually, it says in the book of Revelation, we talk about the four horses of the apocalypse, which you find in Revelation chapter number 6 from verse 1 onwards. That means a chloros is like a pool with dirty water with a dirty green color. But when the sun shines on the plant, the chlorophyll begins activated but through a process of photosynthesis. And then that brings life through the light of the sun to the plant, along with water, HO2. And along with water, the plant gets what it needs to sustain its bios, biological life. Now, just right on the other hand, when the S-O-N shines upon your life, you come alive in the light of His glory. You live by that light. When you have that light, I personally believe, like Paul says, not that I've already attained, but there's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. We need to all do that. Carry too much baggage from the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. If you want to have a new day, think forward, not backward. Okay? Think forward. See forward. All right? Forgetting those things which are behind. I press on towards the goal of the upward call. Philippians chapter number 3, this is, by the way. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God is calling us upward. He's not calling us to go down. We're not looking for a hole in the ground. We're looking for an opening in the sky. The Son of God coming to fetch us. Can you say amen? Give Him a praise offering right now. Amen. Amen. It's just how it is. So if we're in His light, we live. If you use the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit is connected to the life light of God. In Him, the Word was become flesh, dwelt amongst us. In Him, was and still is the light, and the light is the life of man. Now the Bible says the light shines in the darkness, John chapter number 1, could not comprehend it. That word comprehend actually means had no way of stopping it. It pierces through any resistance of the devil. That light cuts through like a laser beam through steel. That light is the sword of the Spirit. When you use that light and you speak that light over your life, you live a different life, I tell you. You live a different life. Because just speaking the word over your life, over your physical body, over your marriage, over your family, that light breaks and cuts straight through any form of resisting darkness. And the darkness could not withstand it, could not hold it back. It could not take a grip on. The Greek word literally means get a grip on it, just couldn't stop it, had no answer to it. See? So that light is very powerful. It pierces anything that the devil has. So with the shield of faith, you're quenching the fiery darts of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, the moment you sting with the sword of the Spirit, or you strike with the sword of the Spirit, there's no way of the devil escaping hurt, pain. And I remember I was in Newcastle, and there was a young girl. I don't know, I think she was very small. And she could have been about 16, 17 maybe. She's a small girl, but so demon-possessed, I wonder where on earth she got all of those demons from. I mean, I sometimes, you know, it just fascinates me. Some of these young people get up to stuff that, oh, dear Lord Jesus, we never knew those things when we were children. I don't know any of those things, not in my days. But now, here is a girl, and I'm preaching. Now, she had, by demonic power, she was viciously strong. Her father was a massive man. I actually met her father. And she used to chase both her father and her mother through the house. That demon would come upon her. She would throw them around against the walls. She would take anything, an axe. They fled for their lives. Time and again, they were terrified of their own daughter. He just didn't mess with her. Like the demoniac of Gadara. Then she would come to church and wait, different churches, for the preacher to preach the word. And then with the moment they finished preaching the word, this girl would go to that minister. If there's, let's say, an altar call or a call to pray for the sick or whatever, she would try and jump the minister. It happened to me a few times in my career. Try to jump the minister. Right now I can tell you another story, but okay. She'd try to jump the minister and just grab him by the throat and strangle him. And then a whole bunch of men stood ready because they knew her. And that night that I was there in Newcastle, I'd been in a room the entire day. And I just prayed, did nothing else except pray. Pray the whole day. I was thoroughly and properly in the will of God and in the presence of His Majesty. And I just prayed the whole day. Just kept on praying in the Spirit. Well, you don't know what to pray with the understanding, you pray in the Spirit. If you're a Pentecostal, you know how to spend time with God in prayer. So that night, I preached the Word of God. And as I'm busy saying to the people, if you got any problem, or you know, you want to be filled with the Spirit or whatever, or sickness or something, I'm going to pray for you now. I made the first call for the people to come out. And there was a queue of people, and she was standing over there. Not in this church, but that she's like there. And I'm coming from this side towards her. And the next thing, before she could jump me, the power of God, the light of God, the force of the Almighty came upon her. Struck her so hard that she fell on the ground and started screaming. It's quite the opposite of what they've experienced previously. They're all ready, but here I've got the devil going on like popcorn on the ground. And she's out of control, foaming by her mouth. And just the fire of God's honor. So I said, well, you know what? I just want a couple of women with that lady and one man and escort her to the back of the church, to the room behind where the church board met, Afrikaans Consistory. Daar's 'n storie van die kon se storie. Amen. Many things happened there. And I said, I'll get her after the service. That night we cast demons out of that woman like you cannot believe. At 1 o'clock in the morning, it was all over. Well, I had all the time in the world. I said to the devil, devil, I'm staying, but you're going. And one after another, those demons came out. But you need to know your authority. You need to know that the sword of the Spirit is powerful. Now, why did I tell you the story? Because I quoted, constantly quoted, Revelation 20, verse 9 to 10, where it says, and the devil was cast into the lake of fire, now along with the Antichrist and the false prophet, for the eternal judgment. Right there, you read it in Revelation chapter number 20. The devil cast into the lake of fire. And I quoted that verse. She says, don't say that. I said, I'm so glad you're saying that, devil. Now the devil was cast into the lake of fire. Don't say that. I said, I'm so glad that you don't want that. So I'll tell you what, I'll oblige. And the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, along with the Antichrist, the false prophet. She was going crazy. She couldn't stop being hurt by just one verse from the Bible. Just a single verse. Just quote that verse. There's no way stopping spiritual damage to the devil if you do that. We need to understand that. The sword of the Spirit is not just any sword. It's not just something that is like symbolic of something. The Word has become flesh. In Him was the light, and the light was the life. Life is light. That sword of the Spirit cuts through whatever the chains, the bondage, the barricades. It cuts people loose from any form of captivity. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I must get to 2 points, actually. It's just hovering over me all the time. The thought of the sounds of silence. Well, actually, let's take it, yeah, in the Jewish text, you see it very clearly, where you read about the sound of silence. Talk about that maybe next week. There's another one I want to talk to you about. The perfect truth of the light. I want to get you to that as well. So it's all in the menu. Next week we go on with this topic, the morning topic. But now, coming back again to this, we have a wrestling match. And that wrestling match is quite fierce. And your authority, your power, is in being able to deal with that in the correct manner. You have to be prayed up as much as you can. Dr. Lester Sumrall said, and he was the world's foremost expert on the demonic of principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavens. He was the number one expert on that. And I saw that man, just a short man, maybe 5'6". I don't know. He was a short man. I mean, like a sturdy short man. And he'd walk around. But I tell you what, when he spoke the word, there was so much command and so much authority in his word, you almost felt sorry for the devil. Because he would just shoot like a machine gun, the verses. And I knew there's catastrophe in the camp of the devil. You just learn these things. There's a new generation that has arisen. And they need to learn those things again. You need to find out about your authority and stop being scared. Christians are far too timid sometimes. It worries me. You know, it worries me. You nobody's floor rag. Definitely not the demon's one. He can't sweep you aside. If you go into defense mode under the full armor of God, how many times, absolutely countless times of my life, I've quoted it over my life, confessed it, decreed it, and I had a full understanding of one thing. Everything is defensive. And one thing is offensive. Your striking power is in the Word. Are you listening to me now? In the Word. In the Word. Now, you know what? It's a strange thing, but even if you feel you don't particularly have authority, spiritual authority, and you feel, well, you know, I'm just one of those people that are insignificant, you feel like that about yourself, let me tell you something. It doesn't take one stitch away from the authority of the Word. Simply speak the Word. The devil doesn't like that. He moves when the Word is quoted. You know, I think now Psalm 103, where it says these words, Baruch atah Adonai, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who hearken, in other words, take heed of, obey, carry out the voice of His word. Psalm 103. The voice of His word. When you speak His word, God's holy angels obey that word. Now, I've got three people that got that. But do you know if you pray the word over your workplace, God sends angels in advance to help you there. You got an advocate, a counselor, a standby, the Holy Spirit with you all the time. You don't need to be timid. You don't need to be in any way whatsoever stressed. When you know the Word of God, you spell trouble to the devil. Even if you don't feel like you've got authority, you just speak the Word. Quote the Word and see how the devil does a backward somersault. I mean, I've seen that in visions. I've seen that in visions. I've seen how it strikes the devil. It looks like a bomb that goes off, and there's like an invisible wave of energy that you can't see, but it's there. Power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen Satan fall like that in visions. And just, he couldn't handle it. The sword of the Spirit is awesome. And by the way, the name of Jesus is unbelievably powerful. Indescribably powerful. Indescribably. Come on, give the Lord a good praise offering right now. Amen. Now, having given the Lord a praise offering, let's move to Acts chapter number 13 and go to verse number 4. Acts chapter number 13, verse number 4. Now, I'm not very far from finished now, and then I want to minister to people. Acts 13, verse 4. I think I'm preaching or teaching in the Bible school this week, eh, Pastor Tienz? In 2 weeks' time. Maud's got it in her diary. But it's okay. I'm coming, Bible school students. Amen. 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 Because I got time to explain things more properly. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, this is the Apostle Paul, sent by the Holy Spirit, notice that. Always notice what the Word says. Become word conscious. Get yourself a word-for-word translation, like the New King James Bible. And be sure that you stay close to the Word and in the fear of the Lord. And when you pray, you'll have the comfort of the Holy Spirit upon you. The fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that means they were straight in the will of God. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word. They preached the word. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with, now notice this, please be with me now. He was where? He was with a proconsul, the proconsul, should I say. The proconsul is the one who is the governor of the island for the Roman Empire. So alongside the governor was a false prophet, and he was a sorcerer, a false prophet, and he was a Jew called Bar-Jesus. And I was with a proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. We're talking a lot about faith now in the mornings, because I want to equip you so much that you are totally an overcomer before the middle of the year. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O full of deceit and fraud, all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease, notice, perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" God is the ultimate truth, ultimate light, ultimate love, ultimate in straight ways. And this sorcerer on the island there tried to pervert it and withstood Paul when he was busy preaching the word. "Now indeed," says Paul, "the hand of the Lord is upon you and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went about and around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, the demonstration of the power of God had happened, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now notice one thing where Elymas the sorcerer was hanging out. He was with the proconsul. Now, let me just say two things very quickly. The Old Testament, you read that when God divided the earth, like you read in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5 and verse 25, when God divided the earth, he divided it according to the number of, and then the English translation says the children of Israel. But in the Hebrew, it says, according to the number of the sons of God. Now, in the Old Testament, you have five occurrences of this expression, and every time it refers to angels. You particularly see that in the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2. You see that in Job 38. You see the sons of God, always in the Old Testament, not the New Testament, are equated to angelic beings, whether may be fallen or not fallen. Now he says, when God divided the earth, he divided it according to the number of the sons of God. So if you read, you study the Greek, actually the Hebrew there, you quickly find out what he is talking about. There is an allocation. God sent boundaries in the book of Acts for the nations, for times and seasons and for the nations. So, allocated to every area, there are these angels, but they're also in command, but they're also the opposing fallen angels. So now guess for 1 second, where do you get the so-called strong man or the principality of a nation? Where do you normally find the chief cook and bottle washer, troublemaker spirit? Where do you find him? He will always seek to get close to the state president. Why do you think every Saturday morning I pray for the state president? Why do you think I do that? Because I know the business of prayer. I know exactly where he hangs out. He'll focus on the parliament. He'll focus on the house of the state president and his family. He'll focus on trying to send somebody that's demon-possessed close to him to do witchcraft, divination, sorcery, that is to manipulate the future of the entire nation. That's how it works. We know that from spiritual warfare. We call that territorial spirits. Now, you know, in Mark chapter number 5, you read about the demoniac of Gadara. And when Jesus encounters that, there's a whole story about that. I could preach that the whole night. But let me just say this to you. When Jesus started the conversation with those spirits, and he unveiled the fact that there were many, and their name was collectively called Legion. So he had a legion of demons on the inside of him, that man. And he was completely insane as a result. And then they begged Jesus, not to send them out of that land. Why? Because they're territorial. They have been distributed around the planet to the nations according to the number of the sons of God. And so there we have B'nai Elohim. We have the number of B'nai Elohim. And then we know that it's the number of the sons of God. And we know that these, the chief of these, the principalities in the nations always try to get close to the ruler of the land. Always. Manipulate and control. That's witchcraft, divination, and sorcery. The three legs of the occult. See? So now, where do we find the sorcerer? We find the sorcerer with the governor of the island. He goes straight to the place where he could manipulate through witchcraft, divination, sorcery, Bar Jesus, Elymas the sorcerer. Now what happens to him next is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. Paul said, you son of the devil, will you forever pervert, endeavor to pervert the straight ways of the Lord? See? That's why the Lord says to us that we are in the first place to pray for kings, in our case state presidents, as they follow each other consecutively, for the state president and all the authorities, all those of high authority in the country, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Prayers, supplications, petitions, and thanksgiving. See, intercession for those who are in authority over a nation. So we focus on that. And buddy, I'll tell you, I know the business of prayer. I know the business of prayer. You talk about laser focus, and that laser comes in the form of the sword of the Spirit. And it's not limited to time and space. It goes all the way to Cape Town, anywhere I wanted to go. Why? Because I'm praying straight in the will of God, and the Holy Spirit's giving me the backup. See? So we got elections coming up. You'll see the Saturday morning prayer meetings firing up just for that purpose. B'nai Elohim, the sons of God. So these, in the case of now the fallen spirits, try to manipulate. Even in a home, they go for the head of the house. And they try to swing his head. Now, how many times have I seen you give somebody advice and do just the opposite? And I know. I mean, I'm not stupid with those things. I know. I've often said to people, there are voices whispering to you. And I said, stop listening to other voices. Just listen. Just listen. I normally say to people, you know, when I talk to them, I say, if you are my son, if you are my flesh and blood, I would do the following. I'd say to you as a father, do this. I had a situation where there was a person with a familiar spirit with one of the members of the church. And I had to deal with that thing immediately because I saw the danger, you know. These spirits communicate the spiritual world. But you actually become extremely dangerous through the extension of the sword of the Spirit through your lips. If you speak it up with power and authority, you crack any demonic bone, so to speak. You break the devil's back every time. Come on, give the Lord a praise of it. That's right. So, we're into this thing on this Sunday night. And I want to tell you in closing, I'm going to close here because I want to minister. We're into this thing because I want you to understand as you go into the future of this year. I want you to understand. I looked at somebody who looked in a woman's eyes the other day and I said to her, look in my eyes. Does the coin drop? Savvy, do you click? Is the light coming on? I'm saying something to you. Does the light come on? I spend time with God. Does the light come on? You see, the way of the righteous is like the rising of the sun that gets ever brighter till the fullness of day. But does the coin drop? Does the light come on? Do you understand? And I had a blank face looking back at me, and I realized no understanding here. Now, the natural man, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot discern them. The things of the Spirit of God, foolishness to him. The natural man, the unregenerate man. But the spiritual man receives all things and judges all things, yet he is judged by no one. But we have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. And then it goes on, you have the mind of Christ. Then it says in the next verse in chapter number 3, I'll just quote it for you, just save a little bit of time. It says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, the spiritual man. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but I spoke to you as carnal, even as babes in Christ. Speaking to the brethren, saying to them that they are nepios, from which we get our word nappy. They're still in nappies. They've never grown old or mature, should I say. They've just stayed in the nappies. And they didn't know what they had. They couldn't. He says, I had to speak to you as nepios, as nappy babies. So how do we grow? We grow by the knowledge of the sword of the Spirit. And I'll continue next Sunday morning. And I'm out with vengeance because of that dream in the night to make sure I get to you what God gave me to get to you. And I'm fully persuaded that the Lord has started something now for sure. Stay loyal, faithful, committed, consistent, enduring, like you are tonight. Shove aside all the things of the world. Just put it aside. You're going to make it a church and make it a church. Can you say amen? Amen. Would you give the Lord a praise offering, everybody? Right now. Amen. Now, I need to say to you something that I need to connect to praying for people here and one or two specifics. Normally, when you look at this, whatever it is, I'm really not moved by what I read on here, what the problem is. I'm only moved by the Word of God. Whose report will you believe? Everybody say, we shall believe the report of the Lord, the report of the Word. So, what I believe is in truth. You'll see when I get to the combination of truth and light and perfection of truth. I'll deal with that. Candace Gobie and Paula Clayton. Then there's one here called James Johnson, but not here tonight. I always want to see that one question answered. Are they in the church, yea or nay? And here is a piece of cloth to be prayed over, because this happens to be a heart attack and a critical condition. Again, I believe the report of the Lord concerning James Johnson. How many of you believe the word of the report? The report of the Lord, of the word of the Lord with me. What does the word say? The word says the punishment of James's peace, restoration, and he healed them all. They brought the sick to him when the evening came. Matthew 5, it tells you that he healed them all. verse 17. And it says, and he healed them, that it might be fulfilled, which is the word which is spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself bore all our sicknesses and carried our diseases. There's quite no reason, no sense in trying to carry something Jesus is completely, ultimately, and totally paid for. So I'm saying concerning James Johnson, if you would agree with me in the name of Jesus Christ, that he's healed according to the word. I prohibit that heart attack for going rampant or causing any further damage. And in fact, I loose the healing power of the wounds of Jesus into his heart right now, even in the muscles of the heart. You know, God can restore your brain power, even if you have memory loss. He can restore anything. He made you. He created you. You're in his image and likeness. All you need is the income of the word. That's the greatest income you can desire in your life. So I say in the name of Jesus to James Johnson, be healed in Jesus' name. The punishment of your peace was upon Jesus. And by his stripes, it is written, you are healed. I loose the power of the sword of the Spirit straight into his heart to cure him and to heal him. Can you say amen? Amen. Now these other two names, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody. I almost get excited about that. Thank you, Tiens. Paula Clayton, it looks like, and Candice Gobi. Where are you? Candice Gobi, where are you? Because in both cases in the service, I see one. Where's the second one? And it looks like there's the second one. Okay. Thank you. Paula Clayton. Okay. Stand there. Can I have some oil here, please? Hold for me. Thank you. Now, one or more of you come and help me here. On which side is it? Yeah, okay. My wife will put a hand there. Where's the spot? On the exact spot. Right. My wife will put a hand there. And you put your hand over it, and I put my hand over your hands. And just raise your hands towards her. She feels the power of the Holy Spirit already on her. In fact, raise that hand to God, because the Spirit of God's on you now.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There it is. It just comes through like waves. There is such a powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. And I can feel it. Literally, it's like a stream that gets stronger and stronger as I speak. I loose the sword of the Spirit against this condition.
Thank you.
I don't even have to mention what it is, because the curse is broken.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus Christ's name. Can you say amen?
Amen?
In Jesus' name. There's the power of God on you now. I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Do you feel better? Did you have pain?
No pain.
You didn't have any pain?
No pain.
But now, have you got faith? Do you believe the word of the Lord? Could you feel the presence of God?
Yes, absolutely.
Could you feel the presence?
Yes.
Yes. It's still on you, you know. Yes.
I love him so much.
Yeah. I want you just to deeply breathe for me. Then Jesus blew upon them. He said, I've given you an example that you should follow. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So I do exactly the same. Spirit of God's on me. Breathe deep. There we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Have faith in God. Thank you. That's good. You can take a seat. And you, yes, right, stand a little bit forward. Okay, now, just raise your hands. Don't drop your hands as high as you can, in fact, because God's busy dealing with you. You've just moved into the presence of God. I feel the presence of God very strong here. And you've just moved into that presence right now. The Spirit of God's busy working on you now, just like that other woman over there. You can literally feel like a current, like a stream. It's the most glorious feeling, I tell you. And you can feel His presence. Can you feel His presence? Yeah, you can feel His presence. Now, He's here right now. And you know what? I notice also that your energy levels are very low. I notice also that your blood pressure is affected. I notice also that there is a sting. There's a fiery dart of the devil sitting there. And I break that power in Jesus' name and quench that dart in the name of Jesus. There's the power of God's on her now. There it is. There it is. There it is. Come out, you spirit of torment. Come out, you spirit of death. I break your power and I command you to be bound in Jesus Christ's name. Give God a praise offering, everybody, right now. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just for the sake of interest, yeah, just help her up. Just for the sake of interest, you know, during the Holy Spirit Fire Conference, God touched some people in a most powerful way. When you hear it, when you see it, then it causes in you a faith explosion. Everybody that sees that realizes that the gospel is the truth. That the gospel is the truth. Can you say amen? And you know the gospel is confirmed. It doesn't come in words only, but in power and the Holy Spirit, full persuasion. Not in the enticing words of human wisdom, but in the Spirit. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How many of you prefer the power of God? Now, in this Holy Spirit Fire Conference, we prayed for the people night after night. If something really outstanding happened to you, you really have changed because of that, would you raise your hands so that I could see where you are? Just raise your hands for me. There's one, okay. Two over there, three over there, okay. And there's some at the back, okay. Those people that raise their hands and you, just come to me quickly. Just come quickly. I need ushers here because the presence of God's very strong on me. Only if you want to testify, and I'm going to ask you, and what happened to you?
Last week on Sunday, my grandmother called me. She told
me a little bit forward.
She told me that my uncle has TB and he's getting worse. So after the anointing, I decided to go to my uncle's place and I prayed for him. With a lot of authority. He complained that he can't get mucus out, and for that reason, he can't get medication. The doctors can't really detect what kind of TB he has because he couldn't get the mucus out. So we prayed for the mucus to come out because since last year, the mucus wasn't coming out. And the following day on Monday, he testified that a lot of mucus around 3 a.m. in the morning, a lot of mucus came out.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
And yeah. So a lot of mucus came out and he was able to get his medication. So he's currently on medication right now.
Well, give the Lord a praise offering. Raise your hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Power of God's on you right now. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you can take your seat. Thank you very much. And you, what happened to you?
Pastor, I went for an eye operation.
Yes.
Last week, during the your awesome services, I went to see the doctor, and I can read without my specs. This morning, for the first time, I read the Bible without my specs, And I just praise God for
it. Is that now after the operation?
After the operation, and God has healed me completely. I can see without it. I'm going back to the doctor, but I know.
You're not looking for any help now, any magnifying glass or nothing?
Nothing, Pastor.
All right, well, bless the Lord. Raise your hands. The power of God's on you now. Now, Lord, I thank you. Touch her inner eyes right now, all together. That's a permanent healing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And you, little one, what on earth has happened to you?
Well, I was here last week, Wednesday.
Yes.
And I stood in front here, and you removed some evil stuff from me.
Evil stuff from you?
Yeah. That I've had with me since I was about 3 years old.
Yes, since you were 3 years old.
I was three, it's been taking over my life.
Now.
And I'm now free.
Are you free? How's your life?
I'm much more peaceful.
Raise your hands to the Lord. Let the Spirit of God come on you once more, this time to fill you with power. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You can feel His presence on you now. You're familiar with it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There we are. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And you, what happened to you?
When I was 14 years old, I ended up slipping on my right hip 4 times at the ice rink. And it literally made me collapse on the floor. And I had no response to my body at all for quite a few hours. And then eventually I started feeling back in my legs and everything. But once I was released from the hospital, my back was in a lot of pain. My hips had constant pain. And even at that time of the month, I would end up having such a pain down my one leg that I could barely move and it hurt. And my leg felt like it was going numb. And then last year when we had the, it was when I came and you were doing prayers over people and I think I was screaming and stuff, and I literally, once I got up, I didn't feel any pain.
So this is all gone now?
It's all gone.
All gone. Raise your hands. She's filled with joy. She's very happy. Now I want the presence of God to come on her. Thank you, Jesus. There it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now set this woman free forever, Lord. She will never suffer of anything anymore. There it is. Every form of bondage, every stronghold that the devil had on her life, I command the powers of darkness and the curses of the devil to be broken against you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Karen, Pastor Tiens, come. There we are. Give the Lord a praise offering. How many of you believe? I'm telling you now, Sunday nights in this place never going to be the same anymore. How many of you say our faith is in the power of God? The power of the Almighty God. How many of you got faith in Him? Now there's, everybody say, nothing is impossible in my life for me because of Jesus. And the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit upon my life. Amen. And you, what happened to you? That's right, give the Lord a praise offering. Somebody want to give God a praise offering. She had what?
A pinched nerve for about 2 weeks. And after you prayed for me,
the pinched nerve for about 2 weeks. Yeah. Just raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. That's it. No, stick your hand goed op. Goed op. Laat die kracht van hier oor jou kom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let your power come upon this little lady and do a miracle that she's seeking. A great miracle. In fact, change the structure of bones that are giving trouble in her body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Power of God, you can feel it. It's on you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're smiling. Oh, yeah, somebody else. But ladies first, okay. All right. You're happy?
I am.
What happened to you?
Well, for the last 8 years, my life has been challenged through my business, my family, my health. And for 10 years, I've been coming to this church. And Pastor, you have every time uplifted me. And there was times I didn't even know I was going to pay salaries. And today I've got a multi-million rand company and I'm employing 180 people. And there's days I don't know how we get through and I come to church and then there's just money. And I want to thank you because there was times you just touched me and Pastor Tien's anointed me at once for my family who's constantly being challenged in relationships. And he reinstated those relationships. My health, I've got quite a serious heart condition. And I'm standing here and I'm being able to run a very big business and many other businesses. And the healing that you brought, I sat once there, was in a lot of pain. I came up here and I get TIAs, which is like mini strokes. And I have not had a mini stroke ever since. So that was about 18 months ago.
Yes, carry on. Is that it?
Well, I'm here. And I have faith and I joined the disciples class and I think I've got a big future. And
yes,
I'm going to walk in
have.
Business with God.
Indeed you have. I just want you to say, I haven't got, it's not your property, a heart condition.
I haven't got a heart condition.
You believe the word?
I believe the word.
Okay. All right. Just stand right here because I want her to just cover her heart with her hands like this. And so that I could just put my hand on top of her hands. And there's the power of God coming on her now. In fact, she's very much aware of it right now. There we are, right now. Now, having done that, I want you to raise both your hands. Because what you're needing now is wisdom. Because when you get a breakthrough, then comes wisdom is the next thing that you need. Wisdom and faith, but wisdom. Right now, you're needing a lot of wisdom. So you don't do anything impulsively, but you do the right things right. Not the right things wrong. Right things right all the time. Okay? Now raise your hands because God will give you wisdom now. Very high. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let the power of God just come on this woman right now in Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give God another praise offering right now. Thank you. Young man, what on the planet happened to you?
So I lost my father when I was...
Looks like this is this?
Okay. So I lost my father when I was really young. And then what happened is as the years have progressed, I was clinically diagnosed with depression. I've been in and out of therapy since I was really young. And then my family still fights about it. And to this day, it still tears my family apart, what had happened. And it gets worse and worse. And it got to the point where I didn't want to come to church anymore. I didn't want to believe anything. And then I decided I was going to make a change in my life. And then last week when I came, and I was just filled with the Holy Spirit, and I had like not been that happy in such a long time, and that relieved.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Are you 22? Yeah. Warren, come here, please. Thou shalt taketh him with thee. Okay, just hold this for me, please. Now, young man, raise your hands so you forever be. No, you don't raise your hands to God like half-mast. Okay, some people just go half-mast. You know, you go full-mast, as high as you can go with your hands. Right? Now, let's just see. There's the power of God coming on you now. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Now it is. Now, I release the power of the Holy Spirit on you. Never, ever will you be depressed ever again. That thing has left you. That thing is not welcome. That curse on your mind is forever broken in Jesus Christ's name. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Now make sure that he comes to the right place with the rest of the right people. Do you know? You know, I was saying this morning, some people in the kingdom, hulle skrik hulle self van 'n ander bloedgroep. They get a fright into a new blood group. And you know, people laugh about that, but you know, we've all had a blood group change. We went from our blood, flesh and blood that cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and we've joined the blood group of the Son of God that's gone all the way to heaven. We belong. We've been bought by, and we live by the covenant power of the blood of Jesus. That's the blood that goes with us into heaven. Can you say amen? Give God a good praise offering, everybody. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand. Praise God. Can you believe this evening's over like that? But it's only the beginning. Yeah, I tell you, I had some testimonies tonight, and you'll see much more next week. We're busy with God, and the Lord has done major things. It's 3 minutes to eight, 3 minutes before children's church closes, and I'm going to pray for you now. But you know, there's a revival of the presence of God that's coming to this nation. I said this nation. I said this nation. And you will be witnesses of that in your lifespan. It's coming to this nation. To this nation. Love the Lord. But just this, whatever you do, don't be a roller coaster Christian. Then committed, then non-committed, then you know, involved with the kingdom of God, then not involved, then near and then far, then near and then far, then up and then down. God is wanting you to be constant, self-disciplined, and committed to Him, faithful and loyal. Can you say amen? Will you do that this year? Well, it's going to bless you. Will you do that this year? How many of you are eagle Christians? I need to see that. Oh, Lord had quite an impact on you. My goodness. Give God a praise offering for that. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you peace and eternal salvation. In the name of God the Almighty Father, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit of God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You're going to have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week, Sunday morning.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.